Good morning again. Praise God that we can trust him because he is the same yesterday, today and forever. We can trust him. He never changes. And God is always speaking. We're thinking about that last week. God is always listening. He never sleeps, never slumbers. He's always awake. He's always listening. He is omnipresent and omniscient. He's everywhere present. He is all-knowing. This is why Jesus told his disciples a parable in Luke 18. You can read this parable about a widow who prayed and didn't give up in the hopes that his disciples would also pray and not give up, in the hopes that you and I, his disciples, would also pray and not give up. For God is always listening. And so God hears the prayer of the tired mama and the I don't know what to do now prayers. He hears the prayers of the dissatisfied worker and he groans of the afflicted, the suffering, the ache of the lonely heart. He hears. He hears the I'm completely exhausted morning prayers and he anticipates the middle of the afternoon, I don't think I'm going to make it kind of prayers. He's always listening. The Apostle John wrote, now this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him or asked him for. The terms of condition, however, to receive what we ask for is that we are asking according to his will, which poses a conundrum, a difficulty. If God is all-knowing, and if we're told to pray for the Lord's will to be done, and we know that he knows what his will is, then why pray? And if we don't think that we know what God's will is, and we don't want to feel ignored by God because we don't know what his will is, then again we might think, why pray? I don't want to have a sense that God's ignoring me or not listening to me. However, first and foremost, God commands us to pray. Pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. We read these words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray without ceasing. It's a commandment. This is because God wants us to depend upon him more, to know him better, and to trust him more. And an absence of prayer demonstrates a lack of personal relationship with him. It also demonstrates a self-reliance or self-dependence. We're depending upon ourselves. So let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. And we thank you that we can come before you as a child comes to sit on the knee of their father. And we can come to you with all of our joys and our struggles, with all of our hopes and with all of our fears. And Father, we ask that we might have faith like Elijah, trusting in your promises and believing in the power of prayer. Would you teach us through your word today how to pray boldly, how to pray expectantly? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we pray because we want to demonstrate that we do depend upon God, but we also pray because we want to know him better and we want to trust him more. But a second reason to pray is that somehow God has linked two things together. He links our prayers and his actions. Our prayers and his actions are linked together. Charles Spurgeon said, "Prayer moves the arm that moves the world." Somehow, our prayers have the capacity to move God into action. And this comes out in our reading today from James. "Therefore, confess your sins to each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Elijah was a human being, even as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. In the preceding verses to these, James has asked his readers to be patient in their times of suffering. These people he's writing to, his listeners, are going through a tough time, a difficult time. They're suffering for their faith, and James is asking them to be persistent, to stand firm. Stand firm. And then in verses 13 to 18, he emphasizes prayer, mentioning it in every verse. Every verse, verses 13 to 18, he mentions prayer. And he's commending prayer for the individual, for the elders of the church, for the church community as a whole, to be praying for one another. And he says, pray at all times. Pray when you're in suffering, in times of suffering, or in trouble, when you are cheerful, and when you need forgiveness or healing. Pray at all times. Read these verses 13 through to 18. And take note of that. Pray in all of these different situations, all of these different times. He's suggesting prayer is vital if we are to stand firm, if we are to persist in our faith. Then we need to be praying. Prayer helps us to stand firm. He also says when someone confesses their sin before you, pray for them. So, don't pat them on the back and tell them that they'll get over it and they'll feel better one day. Pray for them. For unforgiveness can lead to physical illness. So pray for them. You know, when somebody confesses something to you or a sin or, you know, a struggle they're having, we often tend to just pat them on the back and just say, you know, okay, you'll be right. You'll get there, mate. It'll be okay one day. No, pray for them. Because unforgiveness can lead to physical illness. Now, not all illness, don't get me wrong, not all illness is caused by unforgiveness, but guilt and shame can cause illness. So confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may know healing or prevent illness, and you'll be able to stand firm in your faith. The medical profession today tell us, secular research tells us, that the doctors, present physical doctors around the world, tell us that 90% of people's illnesses are caused by unforgiveness. Not all is, but unforgiveness is a big one when it comes to some of the battles that we face physically. So pray for one another. And then we come to this last sentence of verse 16. The power of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I once had a lady in the church ask me to pray for her wayward children, quoting this verse to me, suggesting that my prayers should be more effective than hers. Wrong. Wrong. Subconsciously, she was suggesting that if her wayward children continued to rebel, then my prayers were not effective, therefore not a righteous man. You get the logic? The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective, but if my kids fail to come through and continue to rebel, then obviously you're not a righteous man. She might not have said that outwardly, but subconsciously that's what's happening. However, this verse is not suggesting that the prayers of a priest, pastor, or bishop are any more powerful than the prayers of a desperate mother, of a hurting mum. Remember that this verse, prior to this verse, James has already been calling on all of the people to be praying in all circumstances. Prayer is for everyone. Now, the English Standard Version says it this way: the prayer of a righteous person, not the prayer of a righteous man, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. A righteous man is any person committed to God and doing his will. A person who believes in God and his power to bring about his will. For the power in prayer is in the power of the God to whom we pray. The power of prayer is not dependent upon us, but upon the God to whom we pray and to whom we trust. For I think that God wants us to know that we're in this together with him. He with us, we with him. We abide in him and he abides in us. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The power of prayer is due to the power of the one to whom we pray. And this is not just a statement of faith, but a promise. It's a promise from God. The power of prayer is in not in the words that we utter, but in the God to whom we petition. And when we pray, we're not just sending words into the air or into the void, but we're speaking directly to the Creator of the universe, who has all power, power to change circumstances, power to change hearts. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. And as his children, we come to him, depending upon him, leaning into him, and trusting him. And he hears us. He is always listening. And James has already spoken about the power of prayer, that it can bring healing and restoration. He said, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, that you may be healed. There is transformative power in confession and prayer that may lead to healing. And notice that this isn't just about asking for things and asking for healing for ourselves, but it's more about aligning our hearts with the heart of the Lord. It's about acknowledging our sin and our need to humbly seek forgiveness and pray, and to pray with one another. But submission before God, aligning our hearts with his heart, releases his power. Somehow. And the power of prayer is such that as we pray, he transforms our hearts to be more like his. As we pray, our hearts begin to align with his heart. He's transforming us to be in tune with him. Our desires start to align with his, and we begin to see things from his perspective. This change is not always immediate, but it's a gradual process that happens as we consistently spend time with God in prayer. Now, this alignment is brought out by James with his reference to Elijah. When we pray, we essentially saying, God, I trust you with this. And we're acknowledging that we can't do it on our own, and we're leaning upon his strength and his wisdom. You see, Elijah was a man just like us. Yet he prayed fervently that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and the heavens were opened. And this shows us that our prayers, when rooted in faith and when aligned with the will of the Father, can move mountains. The faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. Now, God may be leading you to pray for something that just doesn't feel right, doesn't seem logical, and yet it may be very right according to the will and purposes of God. Thus, we need to be aligning our hearts with His and determining what is His will. Many years ago, when Ian Hunt was here as our senior pastor and we were due to offer him another 5-year contract, all the elders felt that it was right to extend his ministry amongst us. And I can remember this meeting. We all agreed that it was right to extend his ministry. Upon Ian's request that we go away, we stop the meeting there and then, we go away and we pray again, and each one of us as elders returned with God's direction that Ian was not to continue on. God led each one of us to a different place, aligned our hearts with His. And by the way, this was what Ian felt was God's leading to him prior to that meeting. Sometimes God's leading, His answers and His will don't seem logical. So we ought not assume that we know what God's will is. Like praying for a drought for 3 years. Or praying for a 3-year drought. Really? Well, yes. Because God's intention was to cause the Hebrew people to bow in worship and recognize their dependence upon Him once again in fresh ways. That Hebrew people, you depend upon God, even for the rain. The power that is within prayer then requires faith, but it is not dependent upon a certain level of faith within us. We don't have to get to a certain level of faith. And the power of prayer is not something to be taken lightly. It's a divine tool that has been given to us by God, and it has the power to change circumstances, to bring healing and restoration, to change us, to help us to fight against the enemy, and to express our love and our adoration for God, all demonstrating our faith and our trust in God, the all-powerful one who has our best interests at heart. You see, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And James notes that Elijah was just an ordinary bloke just like us, like any one of us. Notice that he doesn't emphasize that Elijah was a special and powerful prophet of God and that's why God answers his prayer. No, he says he was just a man just like us. However, his prayer carried great effect. And James wants us to hear this. That the power of prayer is available to every one of us. We should never underestimate the power of our prayers. Why? Because, again, it is God, the all-powerful one, who is listening. Yet I think we do just that. We underestimate the effectiveness of our prayers. We pray because we think we should. Because God has asked us to. And perhaps we lack faith that our prayers will make a difference. We become blasé and carefree. But if God's Spirit prompts you to pray, then pray fervently like Elijah. For God is inviting you to be a part of making his will done on earth as it is in heaven. The circumstances of the one that you're praying for may not look favourable, but God hears, and he may choose to act upon your prayers. Does your friend need salvation and healing? Then pray. Pray. God is listening. Always listening. And for James, his illustration why he used Elijah, I think, is because it shows that the deadness of the land being brought back to life shows that God can restore people back to life too. He can bring the dead back to life. Elijah's prayers were not self-serving or trivial. He wasn't praying for personal comfort or convenience. He was praying in accord with God's will and for the fulfillment of God's purposes. And this is a key principle for us to remember when we pray. Our prayers shouldn't be focused on our own desires, on our own comfort or convenience, but on God's desires. Our prayers should align with God's will, not ours. And God's will is that none should perish. God's will is that none should perish, but all may have eternal life. And he desires that we be free from sin and its consequences. And so I trust that today you've been encouraged to pray. Not because you think you should, but because God is always listening. The omnipotent one. The all-powerful one. And you want to demonstrate that you depend upon him and you want to know him better. And that happens when, as we pray. We get to know him better, our hearts align, and we'll trust him more. And you want to see him move in power in the lives of those that you love. Trust you've been encouraged to pray. So let's do just that. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of prayer and for your promises that you hear us. And Father, as we go out into this world this week, would you help us to pray boldly, to trust you and your promises, and to live out our faith in tangible ways. And as we commit our week and our lives to you who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us. Father, to you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, now and evermore. Amen.